Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Creator. Chapter 13. Competitions, resistances, and oppositions to the Gospel of God. Topic: C. Crucial reasons why people seek and accept alternative options to the Gospel of God. In the various previous chapters of this subject, we sought to expose many reasons why the Gospel of God was introduced into the world as an offer and why a person should consider receiving it. However, in this new topic, we would also like to ponder about what might be some main reasons why there are so many alternative options in the world that are meant to keep people from receiving the Gospel of the Lord or staying in it. Bearing in mind that the Gospel of the Lord is God's supreme offer to humankind and the most excellent good news of all time, the question of why people do not want to receive it may seem intriguing, but, in fact, it can be significant. Knowing that there are and what are some of the most expressive alternatives to the Gospel of God can be very helpful in discerning the options that are opposed to this Gospel. However, knowing the reasons why people seek and choose these alternative options is to go further in the matter. It is to move towards more objective points in identifying the roots of these alternative options. As also mentioned in previous chapters, to consider that every alternative option to the Gospel of God is contrary to the Gospel does not imply that every alternative option to the Gospel was consciously or intentionally created by the offerer to be contrary to the Gospel. On the other hand, it also does not mean that every alternative to the Gospel was created just out of ignorance. For this, it may be so significant to reflect and speak openly about the reasons behind the emergence of alternative options to the Gospel of God, whether they have arisen by ignorance, premeditation, or another intentional action. Thus, starting from the aspect of ignorance, the scriptures report that the fact that several people have not yet heard about the Christ of the Gospel naturally also expresses one of the leading possibilities why the Gospel has not yet been received by many, as well as it can also be a contributing factor to the manifestation of many alternatives contrary to this same Gospel. There are several texts of the scriptures that mention the action of ignorance also in the sense that people follow ways contrary to the will of God because of the lack of knowledge of the path of the Lord, as exemplified below. 1 Corinthians 12, 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. 1 Peter 1, 13-14. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. On the other hand, as already mentioned, the scriptures also inform us that ignorance about the offer of the Gospel of God is not the only reason why it is not accepted. In the world, there are many people who prefer to choose the options that are presented as being alternatives to the Gospel even after they have already been exposed to the Gospel of God. The scriptures are clear in stating that not all people are willing to receive what is graciously offered to them from heaven, an aspect also exemplified in the following text. Romans 10, 18 and 16. But I say, have they not heard? Yes indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But they have not all obeyed the Gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? The fact that a person chooses to remain ignorant about the Gospel, when one already has the opportunity to hear the announcement of this offer of God, already puts an individual in a situation in which the allegation of ignorance is no longer reasonable. The choice of a person to avoid hearing about the announced Gospel puts this person in a position where one no longer fits in the cases where it has not been offered the opportunity to know at least some aspects of the Gospel, for when an individual has the possibility to approach the Gospel, the time to stop being ignorant about it also has already been offered to him or her. Although the lack of knowledge that the gospel of God is intended for all human beings may represent a significant portion of the reasons why the target population of the gospel does not receive it, there are also other reasons why people resist the gospel or look for other options even when they have heard already the announcement about it. Thus, after noting that some people do not receive the gospel of the Lord even after hearing its announcement, despite being the supreme and most precious good news of God for humans, it can also be seen that the gospel does not please everyone and nor it is seen as a desirable gift by all people. Although the gospel of God is offered by the Lord through His grace, His love, and for the good of those to whom it is directed, it is not welcome or well accepted by all who hear about it, for not everyone wants what God Himself offers directly to them. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. Nevertheless, knowing that the gospel of God does not please everyone is not yet the heart of the matter. The central point of the matter that leads people to the so-called alternative options to the gospel, when they can no longer claim ignorance because they have had the opportunity to know the gospel, is, therefore, in the reasons why the gospel is not of interest to be received by those who have already had the opportunity to hear the announcement about it or who have even come to know more details about the gospel. Knowing the reasons why the gospel of God is not well received by everyone for whom it is announced is more significant than just knowing that it is not accepted by many. So, following a specific inquiry about some reasons why people are inclined to the options presented as alternatives to the gospel of God, being the simple rejection of the gospel also one of these options, it can be seen that the displeasure with the gospel of God, among others, can also be caused by 1. The immutability of what the gospel is. 2. What the gospel contains, offers, and delivers. 3. What the gospel proposes to produce or cause in the life of the one who receives it. Regarding the first item above, many people in the world dislike the gospel because they cannot add or suppress fundamental characteristics that they would like to see modified in the gospel of the Lord. In the world, there are many people who, for instance, and as mentioned before, dislike the gospel of God because it cannot be acquired by price or by works, for in this way, they also cannot demand from the gospel what they would like in exchange of the payment they would want to do to get it. In the world, there are also many people who dislike the gospel of God because it is announced by the Lord as the unique path to eternal life, for many would prefer that the Lord presented the gospel to them as one possible option or way, among many, for the eternal life so that they could be spared from embarrassment because they would not have to reject other options that are proposed to them. Regarding the second item above, there are many people who dislike the gospel for not wanting to receive some aspects that are given by it to their life. In the world, there are many people who would even like to receive various parts of God's gospel, such as salvation, inner peace, and possible material blessings, but who, at the same time, do not want to receive other aspects that would inevitably accompany the gospel if they accepted it, such as the light and righteousness of the Lord to discern good and evil, the presence of the Holy Spirit calling them to walk as sons of the light, and so on. As already seen in the chapter on the target population of the gospel. Nevertheless, it may be in the third item mentioned above that the first and second aspects also become more notorious, since, regarding the gospel of God, many people dislike it because of what the gospel may produce, cause, or change in their lives. Knowing that the gospel of God is an offer accompanied by a proposition of profound changes in the life of those who welcome it may be crucial to the decision to receive the gospel and remain in it or to the decision of rejecting it, choosing a person, in the latter case, passively or actively for the ways so-called as supposedly alternatives to the gospel of the Lord. In the light of what an offer may cause in a person's life, it becomes evident that the value of an offer is associated with what it is, what it contains, and what it delivers, but also with what changes it may produce in the lives of those who receive it. God's intervention through His gospel in the life of an individual is far from being weak, small, mediocre, or not expressive. Receiving the gospel of God opens the way for a person to experience facts and actions in one's life that can never be produced by any other offer in the universe. Through the work of the gospel, there are ruptures of chains, fetters, oppression, and domination in the deepest places of a person's soul, transforming the person from the inside out, from the heart and mind to the outside. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Hebrews 2:15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Although the gospel of God was presented to the world in humility and in circumstances where God allowed it to be despised, it is very evident in the scriptures that the gospel never lacked firm purposes and a consistent foundation for each of its objectives to be and continue to be fulfilled. The fact that God presents Himself and His offer with humbleness does not in any way diminish at all His strength and His power. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men but in the power of God. Ephesians 1:17-21. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. The fact that God presents His gospel gently and with long-suffering should not be considered as a lack of solidity, firmness of purpose, and consistency of the content or any part of the gospel. The fact that the gospel is offered with simplicity, in a respectful way, and in humility should never be confused with the idea that there is a lack of power in the gospel or that its manifestation in an individual's life refers to a weak or inexpressive intervention. The gospel of God comprises an enormous set of real, mighty, and practical factors that accompany its acceptance by a person. And it is not possible to dissociate the reception of the gospel of God from the central items that compose it and that are determined to be delivered the moment an individual receives the Lord's gospel. The gospel of God is not a theoretical concept, is not a simple message composed of beautiful words that aim to provide inspirational and encouraging effects of self-help for those who hear its announcement, nor it is a proposition that tries to induce people to seek positive thoughts about themselves or some positive thoughts about life. The gospel of God, among many other aspects, is 1. A substantial offer that causes a consistent and profound change. 2. An offer of a new birth with a spirit renewed by God. 3. An offer that gives a new heart to the one who receives it. 4. an offer that grants the presence of the Lordship of Christ in the heart of those who believe in Him. 5. An offer of a concession of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people to act in them as a source of living waters that never cease. 6. The offer of God with us in the shortest possible distance, for it is God with us within the very heart of the one who receives Him. 7. The offer of receiving a new set of heavenly virtues, perceptions, and instructions about life that is also placed in the heart and can be accessed by fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 8. The heavenly offer that enables a person to experience the passing from creature status to the condition of a child of the living God by the new birth through faith in Christ Jesus. There are a vast number of texts in the scriptures that explain what is being exposed above, of which a few are also presented following. John 1, 12-13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The thought of receiving the gospel of God without waiting for great or highly significant changes is entirely contrary to what the very gospel of the Lord proposes. However, as strange as it may seem, although the gospel of God is a gift that comes from the love and grace of God, and despite that the gospel is given by God for the good of all people, many individuals do not want to receive the gift that is offered to them precisely because of the effects that the good, the truth, and the righteousness of God may come to represent in their lives in the world. Although the gospel of God is granted by the grace of God and not by price to be acquired, this does not mean that the acceptance of the gospel does not imply significant consequences in the life of the one who accepts it, as well as in the relationship of this person with those who are around him or her, what, in turn, may also cause resistance to the receiving of the gospel. Something very relevant to be understood about gifts is that even if they are given not by price, if they are given freely, they may come to occupy a space in the life of the recipient, as well as they may come to compete with other things that are already occupying some spaces. Therefore, the competitions, resistances, and oppositions contrary to the gospel of God are so broad in number for what the gospel is worth, as well as also for what it produces, and not for what it is not worth or for what it does not produce. The power of transformation granted by God through His gospel is also one of the reasons that arouse such great competition, resistance, and opposition to the gospel of the Creator. What the transforming power of the gospel is able to produce in a person's life may conflict with other interests that are also desired by people, including those who might even demonstrate some sympathy or interest in receiving some parts of the gospel of the Lord. The displeasure or disappointment with the gospel often also occurs because the gospel is not amenable or adaptable to everything that people would like to have, to maintain, or to be together with the presence of the gospel in their lives. One of the most vigorous resistance to the acceptance of the gospel of God lies in the fact that the gospel conflicts with many other things that many people also appreciate and which do not necessarily cooperate for their good. We highlight here, then, that the gospel of God is an offer of peace in a certain sense, but it is also an offer of confrontation to various positions that many people want to continue to adopt. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Matthew 10:32-34. Therefore whoever confesses me before men, Him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. The gospel of God is an offer that expands the horizons that a person can reach, but it is also an offer that proposes reductions in some areas that many people want to preserve. The gospel of God is a gift that offers immeasurable benefits to those who receive it, but it is also an offer that proposes a restriction of the choices of the heart's inclinations regarding a series of practices or things that many people aim to achieve or continue to possess. Although the gospel of God is an offer that offers endless or eternal life in God, it also presents a proposal of life that has the characteristic of respecting a series of limits for the benefit of those who receive it. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and there are few who find it. Although the gospel of God is a reconciliation offer, it also exposes many things that are opposed to it and that will never be harmonized with it. There is no way to conciliate, for example, the search for a life dependent on God with the search for a life independent of God, just as there is no way to reconcile a choice for a manner of living and walking that seeks to fulfill the will of God with the paths that want to accomplish propositions that are contrary to the will of the Lord. The gospel of God was manifested to the world to expose new challenges to the will of human beings, and it was likewise granted to offer a new way for an individual to deal with his or her will and regarding the will of those around him or her, an aspect which for many also causes such great displeasure or resistance to the gospel of the Lord. Therefore, the propositions presented as alternatives to the gospel of God are, after all, linked in some way to the root of a conflict of interests between the will of the creation and the Creator. An inevitable fact in the world is that many options cannot be conciliated with one another. And it is in this place of incompatibility that the so-called alternative options to the gospel also find their space of manifestation and acceptance by many. Choosing some things over others is an inseparable part of life, it is an integral part of the practical life. At the same time, however, the need to make choices or decisions may generate enormous conflicts of interests, which, in turn, in the attempt to accommodate people's desires or personal matters, may become the motivation or strength for creating the diversity of options that are presented as alternatives to the gospel. When a person begins to seek something that is not pertinent or appropriate to him or her in the eyes of the Lord, one begins to enter a very delicate sphere and begins to enter an area of high risk for one's own life, since not every desire of an individual is appropriate or will be beneficial for him or her if it is aimed, achieved, or received, as one more example below shows us. Proverbs 23:4-6. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. There are many situations in life in which a person may simultaneously choose various aspects. On the other hand, there also are several situations in life where a person is exposed to select only one aspect over the others. Situations in which a person needs to choose one aspect over another may occur, for instance, because of some restriction of space, time, resources, or the incompatibility that there is regarding the options presented to an individual. A person cannot physically be in two places at the same time. A person does not have all the time in the world to be able to do all the things that are suggested to be done in one day. No matter how much material resources a person has, one cannot eat every day all the food that the abundance of riches would allow buying. No matter how many resources a person possesses, One cannot have everything. No matter how much skill a person has in optimizing the personal time, one cannot do everything. No matter how much time a person has, one cannot go and be everywhere at the same time. The human being, as a creature, is a limited being who does not have everything, who does not know everything, and who cannot be at the same time everywhere one wants to be. And it is particularly also this limitation that often, and in all generations, has become a recurring point of temptation. Despite that Adam and Eve had at their disposal a vast abundance, they were tempted and yielded to sin precisely in the field of their limitations. Thus, an adequate positioning of a person regarding his or her limitations is one of the most crucial points of one's life and, especially, also about one's positioning regarding the gospel of God. If, on the one hand, there are many overcoming of limitations that are beneficial to the human being, on the other hand, there are several limitations regarding which the effort to try to overcome them is in vain. God, as the creator of human beings, is almighty and offers inexhaustible riches and wonders to be explored and known. However, God is also holy, upright, and just to all, being the Lord himself respectful of many boundaries or limits without becoming a God devoid of sovereignty and immeasurable power, resources, and riches. When a person longs to grow in the knowledge of God and in what God offers and makes available to him or her, one is getting in line with the will of God, for God also wants people to approach him and to know more about the Lord of their lives and the abundances he has to offer them. There are a lot of aspects that God wants to share with people, there are countless benefits and good gifts that God wants to share with those who seek him. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Nevertheless, an expressive conflict of the human being is manifested when a person is not pleased with what God wants to give him or her, with the conditions of righteousness by which the Lord intends to distribute his gifts, or also when a person is not pleased with what God recommends him or her to give up for one's own good. The desires and actions that led human to lack the glory and the relationship with God remain the same desires and actions that resist the gospel and that rival the aspects and purposes of God presented to human beings through his gospel. The inclination to a will that conflicts with or contradicts the will of God is one of the central reasons that motivate people to look with such a strong appeal for the options that are presented as alternatives to the heavenly gospel. Therefore, the root of the central reasons for the search for options presented as alternatives to the gospel of God, except when people have not yet heard of it, is based on a conflict of wills. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. One of the main conflicts of the human being, who is given the opportunity to accept the gospel of God through faith or to reject it passively or actively, has always been and continues to be the choice between the will of God and the will of a person or the creature. There is a particular place in the life of every human being where one can choose whether it will be occupied by the Lord. Although this place is not, by creation, a space destined to be exclusively of the human being, it is given to people choosing whether God will have the primacy in it. That is why resistance to the primacy due to God in this precious place also becomes one of the central motives for which many people so highly appreciate the options considered as alternatives to the gospel of God. In a way, we might say, then, that accepting or rejecting the gospel of God may occur even independently of the gospel and what is contained therein. That is, if a person is not willing to allow one's own will to be confronted, one also will resist the gospel no matter how precious is the content or benefit that the gospel offers to him or her. There is no way for a person wanting to love, glorify, and worship God by sustaining, at the same time, one's own will in the first place or above the will of the Lord. A central matter which the human being faces every day is the about who occupies the first place in his or her life or love. An extremely precious area of the human being is the place in which it is defined who is the one that a person loves above all and all other things. The dispute over the first love of a heart is the territory of the most significant dispute and conflict that can exist for a person. And true freedom is that which gives the freedom for a person to choose to love the one to whom the love is due above all and all things. In this way, the Gospel of God, 1, is a manifestation of the motivation and action of God's love, which has resulted in, 2, an offer of love, and this, so that, 3, people may also be free to choose to love God from the same source of love by which they are loved by the Lord. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. The freedom offered by God, through Christ Jesus, is the freedom that makes it possible for human beings to choose the one who should be the first love of every individual, who is the very heavenly Lord. On the other hand, some proposition of freedom that does not grant the heart of a person the possibility and conditions for him or her to choose to love God in the first place is not, in fact, true freedom. John 8:36. Therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Ultimately, accepting or receiving the gospel of God is very much associated with the choice that the human being makes to accept and receive in one's heart the Creator to love him and to live and walk in his will, while the alternative options to the gospel of God are very much associated with the position of not accepting and not receiving the Creator, his love, and his will. John 1, 11-13. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. To love God, then, encompasses 1. Loving the God that the Gospel reveals, 2. Loving what the Lord grants through the Gospel, as well as, 3. Loving what the Gospel accomplishes or produces in the life of the recipient. On the other hand, mentioning it once again, the options presented as supposed alternatives to the Gospel, in one way or another, even if some of them might seem to be beneficial, always resist, from their root, the essential aspects associated with the gospel of the Lord. James 3, 18-4, 10. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses! Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, "The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously"? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Ephesians 5, 14-17. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is."